Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and good evening. I know the main host is here, but I'm the co-host. Margaret, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Good evening, ladies.
Turn it over to you. Go ahead.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Margaret Marshall, and we're on with Back Talk Labrish. Backyard Labrish, I'm sorry. And my co-host is Ade, and Ade is a friend of Jamaica. And Ade, I'd like you to introduce yourself.
Well, let's see. Oh, gosh, I didn't know you were going to ask me to introduce myself. I'm so used to us doing shows and asking other people to introduce themselves. I'm not prepared for it. But anyway, well, as you said, my name is Ade. First name is easier. My wife and I host a show on the same platform, blogtalkradio.com/liveconversations. And, I'm truly a friend of Jamaica, and I've had a good experience. I was born in England, grew up in Nigeria, and then came back to England, and hence the accent. Some people over here hear the British accent, and some people over in England hear the American accent, which is quite funny and strange. Right, in England, they say, oh, you're the American one. I'm like, I don't sound nothing American. And over here, they say, oh, you're the British one. And the Nigerian says, you're not Nigerian. You are not one of our people.
Well,
so that's
you know,
my story.
Oh, yes. Well, welcome, Ade. And we love having friends of Jamaica. Yeah. So this evening, we have a very special show because I am honored to present the former First Lady of Jamaica, who has written a wonderful book that is already, I know, as far as Jamaicans are concerned, a bestseller. And I was just informed by my assistant that it's interesting to note that some of the famous women of the past never really wrote about their lives. One being the wife of Marcus Garvey. You know, she never wrote or perhaps was not in a position to write about herself. So other people that perhaps remembered her would have to do that. But here we have a very gracious woman who is well known all over the world. She has been involved. She's very well known in Jamaica as being the former First Lady, as well as hosting a very important and popular talk show called The Breakfast Club. And I must first tell all our listeners that I'm a Jamaican, but I have lived in the United States for almost 50 years. So I am just being exposed to a lot of these wonderful things that have happened in the past 50 years in Jamaica, and I am just so excited and honored to have this special guest today. And I know that a lot of people have purchased her book and are so intrigued with it because we get a chance to go behind the scene and really read about her life, growing up in Jamaica, and as she calls it in her book, you know, going. It's actually a Cinderella story, as she describes it. And she really gets very personal and tells you a lot about her growing up and how she rose to the occasion as the First Lady. Now, besides that, she is very passionate about women's issues, and she is a gender specialist, a social activist, a researcher. She has her degrees from the University of the West Indies, as well as the United States, and have lectured in several universities on the things that she's passionate about. Now, she's supposed to join us in a couple of minutes. I'm not sure if she's dialing in right now, and we will check and let you know. But Ade,
yes,
are you familiar with some of what Dr. Manley has done?
Not much, just mainly from talking to you. So I am ready to be enlightened as well and find out some more information?
Well, a lot of this is going to be coming from her, hopefully. We'll just check on our Skype number, the 111, to see if she's with us at this moment.
So she's calling from a Skype number?
Possibly.
Okay.
I am not sure because she comes to us this evening from Jamaica.
Okay, and just for the benefit of those of you that are listening online, you can, if you already listen, well, you listen on the phone, should I say, and those of you listening online, is 718-766-4558. That's 718-766-4558. And if you are listening on the phone and you have a question or comment, just know you can press 1. That lets us know that you've got a question or a comment. And there's a Skype number here. I'm going to go to it, and maybe that's our guest. Hold on 1 second. Let me just push this button. And the Skype number, because that always shows up as 111. Good evening. Thank you for calling. What's your name? And
can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, no, it's Beverly Manley. I've been holding.
Oh, welcome, Dr. Manley.
Hi.
We welcome you to our show.
Thank you very much.
And we were just talking about some of your accolades.
I heard everything.
You did?
Yes.
Well, we have been so excited about this evening that we were all chattering about it. And I want to tell you that we feel quite honored to have you as our guest.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And I see we have, I know I've been emailed quite a few questions, and I see one of my callers at 770-491. Are you there? Ade, would you open up for her?
Yeah,
I know this happens to be a friend of Jamaica, and she has purchased the book, and she has been very excited to talk to Dr. Manley and perhaps ask her some questions that she's intrigued about.
Okay. Yeah, you're live, 770.
This is Donna Robinson. And
Donna, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Austell, Georgia.
Okay, great. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I had the pleasure of meeting Ms. Manley just recently while she was in Atlanta and acquiring her book and have read her book. And, you know, I was thinking about it, and I was saying to myself, you know, a lot of things that she mentioned in her book really just kind of make her, even though she was a prime minister's wife, make her, you know, like just an average person because she's experienced so many of the same things that I remember experiencing, you know, with my mother. But I was just wondering, Ms. Manley, you actually went back to school in 1975. I mean, did your mother, saying that, you know, education was important, you know, kind of spur you on to go to school later on?
Hi, Donna. How are you? Thank you for calling in.
Oh, thank you.
I always wanted to go to university, but because of our circumstances, my elder sister was the one who was allowed to go, and that was fine with us because she was the brightest, and, you know, so it seemed almost natural. But I promised myself that one day I would go. And so when I became wife of the prime minister and it became possible at that time for me to go, I decided to go. So I did a first degree in the middle of the 70s and then did my master's immediately after. Does that answer your question?
Oh, yes, yes. Really quick, though, from a person that went from limited resources to holding, you know, master's and working, I think, on your PhD. I mean, it's just, what would you tell women that have limited resources but have a dream of, you know, moving forward, but they're still kind of lost within themselves?
What I would say to them is, first of all, you have to become centered. What I mean by that is that you have to be able to go deep within yourself and shut out all the outside stuff and really meditate on it. If you're a praying person, pray on it. But just be still and just so that you can analyze within yourself and discern within yourself what is it you really want to do. Once you decide that you want to study, for example, then you have to develop a commitment to study. So you're going to study no matter what. In my own case, I chose a very challenging time because as an activist first lady, I had so many other things to do. But you know something? Because at the heart of me, I was really passionate about doing the degrees, I found that in a sense that was what helped to steady me. That was what almost what other people would require a hobby to do for them, the studying did for me. And the last thing was that what I was studying was very relevant to what I was acting out in real life because I did a political science degree, and therefore it was in the middle of the Cold War. So when I was studying about hegemony and Russia, the former Soviet Union and United States of America and how U.S. policy plays out in the third world, you know, I was developing the theory for what I was actually seeing in practice. And I also did some stuff on gender. And I was growing up with the second wave of feminism and getting all this theory now to correlate with the practice. So I think once you choose your passion and you have that commitment, you will do it. But the thing is to find out what it is that is your passion. And you can have many passions, you know, at least in my case. I know I did. I have.
And you've really experienced them deeply. And I want to talk to you a little bit about your passion, about your spiritual life, because I gather that, you, as you mentioned, being very centered. And I know that comes from a deep sense of your spirituality.
Yes.
And I think you might have touched on it a little bit in your book, or I saw it
at the end of the book,
on your bio. Yes, yes. So can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Well, I believe, first of all, that there's a higher power, that different people may call that higher power different names. For some it's Buddha, for some it's God. I don't think it really matters what man calls it, but there is that higher power, and that I am made in the image and after the likeness of that power. Therefore, whatever I need, whatever I desire, is already within me.
Amen.
Now, because I'm human, it's covered up with all kinds of stuff. So the thing is to proceed on a day-to-day basis, hour-to-hour basis, and just, you know, clean that up. It's like having a dirty glass, you know. You have to just keep cleaning that stuff up. Because
that's
every day
right.
You pick up stuff, and you need to get rid of stuff.
We get
it
dusty.
In the physical body, and it's the same thing spiritually. And, of course, you get rid of that stuff through, for me, two principles that are enunciated in the Bible. One is forgiving, forgiveness, and on an ongoing basis, forgiving even before the act and continuing to forgive after the act. And the second one is non-judgment. Now, these may sound difficult, but it is possible for human beings. It doesn't mean you will not take some steps backward, you know. But when you do, don't kill yourself. Don't blame yourself. This is all part of the journey. This is all part of the journey. The key thing is to be able to know when you have fallen far from the mark, when you have missed the mark. And once you have missed the mark and you recognize it, you say, okay, what do I need to do now? And we have a little tool that we call clean up. I need to do a clean up. So I may go to somebody and say, look, you may not even have noticed that this is important to me. It may not be important to you, it's important to me. So I need to tell you this, that I was having some thoughts about you that were really, you know, not the kind of thoughts I ought to be having. I'm asking you to forgive me. And then the key thing is to forgive yourself.
Amen.
So it's starting out with knowing that everybody who has been placed on this earth has it inside of them, no matter what they are experiencing, because we are never our experience. We are never our behavior, and we have as human beings to be able to look beyond that to the real of people, no matter how deeply buried it is inside of us.
That's very interesting, because our co-host, Ade, are you there, Ade?
Yes, I am here. I'm just
he's
listening to Dr. Manley.
Hi, Ade, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you doing?
Great, great.
He's involved in a more or less spiritual show also. So this is very interesting, because I myself am into metaphysics.
Yes, yes.
And I can very much relate to what you're saying.
Yes, because I'm a metaphysician.
Yes. And I gathered that. And I must admit that I am, you know, I've been in the United States almost 50 years. It will soon be 50 years. So I left before, of course, before independence, and I remember the last political meeting that I attended. Norman Washington Manley gave a very inspiring speech, and I remember that. I think I taped it and had, because I had gotten some equipment, I had visited the U.S. and had some equipment, and I think I taped it. And, of course, most of those things got destroyed. I did have a house fire and lost all of my old, you know, stuff. But I remember it was one of my most favorite things that I would listen to because he was so passionate. And at the time, I was in my early 20s. So I could very much relate to some of the emotions that you had as you were coming up, you know, your political exposure.
Yes.
I could very much relate to that. And I came to the United States just at the start, sort of the women's liberation movement. And it was sort of strange to me because I grew up in a country, I think, where I thought the women were quite liberated because they were very verbal, as you talked in your book. I mean, your mother didn't think twice to tell her husband, your father, what she thought.
Yes.
You know, and most...
But you see, for us who came up in the women's, I just want to say something as you say that. Sorry if I'm interrupting you.
No, no, no. It's your show.
I want to make a distinction between a sort of matriarchal society, which I would largely regard Jamaica as, and that matriarchy does not come from choice. It comes because for one reason or another, a lot of men are not able to take up their responsibility or don't choose to take up their responsibility. So the woman is left holding the bag. The woman usually heads the home, whether there's a man present or not, even if he thinks he's the head of the home. But like in my mother's case, it was my father who worked for pay. She worked for no pay. And therefore, feminists like myself question, is that the kind of power we want for women? The kind of power we want for women is the kind of power where women have earning capacity, and we're seeing it in a number of cases now. So when people say to me, what is all this women's thing, and Jamaican women have always run things. Run things how? Run things on a man's paycheck? Run things in a society that is really not matriarchal when you look at it. It's far more, it's patriarchal, because in the end it's the man who gets to do exactly what he wants to do. Now a lot of that is shifting, and one of the areas I led in the 70s was when we were advocating for all kinds of social legislation. So when I see young people now in their 20s and 30s who just take things for granted, they take for granted that they can head corporate organizations, they take for granted that they can sit on a corporate board, they take for granted that they can run for political life, to represent people politically. They take a lot of things for granted. They take for granted that a woman can drive a truck or a bus. In the 70s, we had to struggle for a woman to fly a plane. The first woman to fly near Jamaica plane after she qualified could not get a job.
Wow.
I had to get involved in that and made sure that she got a job. We had to get involved to get women in the army, women in the police force. We're talking 30 years ago. So a lot of things are taken for granted now, but I really think we have to reconsider this myth about the power that the average Jamaican woman has, because in spite of that power that she may have in certain areas of her life, she's still dependent economically and psychologically on men, because this is a culture where couples count, where mothers still bring up their children and say, you have to get married. If you do so and so, no man will want you. It is changing, but a lot of it is still there. You got me off onto one of my...
Oh, well, that's good. I know that you're very passionate about the women.
No, I am. I'm very passionate.
Yes, I realize that. And it's
To make another point. That is a starting... Being passionate about women is a starting point for me to building relationships between men and women. And I think that until societies, wherever they are, can get to the stage where woman realizes their worth, Therefore, when she goes into a relationship with a man, that is what she carries into the relationship. So it becomes a relationship of partnership. So it becomes a partnership. That is when you're going to see society take off. Can I tell you a little something I said in the book? It's in the book, and I don't know if you saw it. When I met Fidel Castro, and we're just having a one-on-one conversation, and, you know, we're just talking, and he said, you know, as communists, this is him talking about himself,
right,
as communists in Cuba, we understand that we are struggling for the triumph of the working class. And he says, we know how difficult that has proven to be. Then he paused and said, but do you know the struggle that's even more difficult? It's a struggle for women's rights. And as I said in the book, I was so upset when he said it, because I know how impossible the workers' one is. So if the women's one had to take second place to that, I'd say, oh, my God. And it was not until much later in life that I realized how true it was, what he said. It really is not a comfortable issue for women and men to talk about. There's just too much at stake, I guess. But we'll keep on keeping on.
Right.
And that kind of inspired me to ask you a question, because when you talk about relationship between male and female, and sometimes when we get caught up in our own society, that in America here, it's so easy for people to think the relationship problem between men and women is only, it's exclusive to America. But you're coming from a different perspective, a different country, and saying, well, this is really saying this is a global thing. Why do you think that the struggle or the misconception about our relationship between male and female is such something that we still don't quite understand after centuries of male and female living together? Why do you think we still
have
conflict?
That's the big question. And, you know, it would take a long time to answer. But let me just comment on it quickly. In a society like Jamaica, for example, when we went to all the international women's conferences, and I've been to quite a few, one of the things we discovered early is that there are many commonalities among us as women, but there are also some fundamental differences. For example, the Mexico conference, the first international conference of women, took place in Mexico City in 1975 as a part of that delegation. And one of the things the insights we got into that conference was just what I just said. For example, in Jamaica, women were struggling for piped water supply, because that's woman's work. If there's no piped water in the house, it's the women and the children who go and fetch the water. They were struggling for some basic necessities of life. While our colleagues, our friends, our women friends in the developed world were struggling more for like two cars in the garage. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we were struggling for some very basic issues. Now, one of the reasons I know in Jamaica why it is so difficult is because we are a very religious society. And I always take a risk when I say this, but I say it. The Bible is taken by many as the literal word of God, every word in the Bible. So there are no metaphors, there are no stories. You know, the Bible isn't seen as a sort of guidepost for living your life. It is seen as, you know, you must cover your head in church, because the Bible says that.
Right.
The Bible says women shouldn't do this, and women, you know. So a lot of that comes from those very strong belief systems that have come up throughout the ages. Another problem, so the religious thing is big for us. Another thing, though, that I think would be more relevant both to us and say, the United States, is that because women bear the children, there are these biological differences between men and women. But what happens is that we use biological difference to construct roles for women and roles for men. So a woman brings a child into the world, and because she brings a child into the world, the myth is that she's an automatically good mother.
Wow.
The man may have, the woman may die, or for whatever reason, the man ends up with a child to care for, 2 months old. Guess what? He turns out to be more nurturing than the woman. How do you explain that? So we have these social constructs, these gender social constructs, where we say, because of the way woman is made, because of the way man is made, women must do this, men must do that. Therefore, a woman shouldn't drive a truck, a woman shouldn't work late at night. You know, she's a sweet and gentle flower.
Mm-hmm.
And even when people are seeing examples of women doing, going to war, doing whatever they choose to do, part of the whole thing of the gender work, you know, is to give women expanded choices that are open to women. So if a woman wants to go in the army, she has that choice.
Mm.
If she wants to stay home and nurture her children, she has that choice. But we know there's nothing automatic about a woman being a nurturing great mother because she gave birth to a child.
Mm.
And women are speaking out now about some of the issues they have in rearing children and telling the truth about it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of women feel unfulfilled. That's not to say other women are not fulfilled. But this is most valuable work. And that's the other thing I want to introduce, the question of value. Because it's woman's work, somehow it's not valued. Maybe the most valuable work is done is the work that's done in the household. There's no paycheck for that.
Hmm. Right.
You're really getting me off tonight,
aren't you? No.
And you really should. Go ahead, Margaret.
No, I'm saying, I mean, this is where the passion comes in. Because when you strike a chord that you're really passionate about, your thoughts and you just flow.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't turn it off. And that's one of the beautiful things about a person who comes from passion. And I can feel that and hear that with you.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
And, you know, I like to use myself. I think it helps when we use ourselves as examples, you know. Because in my own life, as I grew up with my parents and was able to observe what at the time I saw as power and powerless,
uh-huh.
power for my mother, powerless for my father, although I've had to rethink all of that. But what it did for me, set out the struggle between women and men and how power is central to that struggle, whether we are aware of it or not. And then I saw it in my own relationship with Michael Manley, who had these fantastic strengths of just allowing you to be.
Right.
And knowing when he should be supportive.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, because of the complexity of gender relations and power relations, I thought I was being as independent as I could be, but later on realized it was still under his umbrella.
Right.
So going to university was something I was doing on my own. The gender thing was something I was doing on my own. So, and this struggle has gone on forever, you know.
We have an echo all of a sudden.
Maybe someone's listening on the computer.
It's back now. It's back.
Okay.
Okay.
But I was one of the original book, because, you know, the editors get to your book and you're not even sure what's left in. Bless you.
You get it back and say, whose book is this?
But you know what's the good news? I still have that stuff.
Right.
There's a chapter I had originally in it called Conversations with Edna Manley.
Uh-huh.
And I remember her sharing with me how it was for her, who was such an independent. If you read her book, she was rebellious. She was an independent human being from the day she was born.
Mm.
I don't even think she had marriage in mind. I mean, and here she was, falling in love, meeting this man, and then she had this career, an internationally acclaimed sculptress. Marries a lawyer who becomes a politician, so she has to play that wife role. But at the same time, the struggle was always, do I go to my art or do I go to Norman?
Oh,
you see, playing out right now, it was important for Michelle Obama, and I think she did a great job last night. But it was important for her to show herself as wife.
Indeed.
I want you to hear me.
Yes.
That's what she was doing. She's an independent woman in her own right, and she did a fantastic job.
Definitely.
What last night was about was showing what the first family could look like. And that it was possible for her to be a first lady who was very supportive of her husband. I mean, that's what, you know, and then again, you look at Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Women still dislike Hillary because she didn't leave Bill.
Right.
But women, especially women who are married to men of power, are always struggling. It's like you're walking down the street, and on the left side you have your life. On the right side, you have his life.
His life. Mm-hmm.
Somehow, as woman, you have to find a way to bring the two lives together without losing yourself.
Mm. Very interesting.
I mean, you bring in some different perspective that is really just turn of light bulb for me, and it's bringing up so much. Because when you talk about societal construct, and when you talk about a woman having a life on one side and a husband's life on another side, as society, is that something that came out of the construct? Do you think it's something that we created, or is this the natural tendency for females, for mothers to be nurturing, so when they're in their relationship?
No, it's not natural. I really don't think it's you're going now into a debate that has to do with nature and nurture. I don't think it's natural. I think it's stories we made up, and why I think that is because there are women who abandon children. There are women who are horrible to children. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's nothing natural there. To answer the second part of your question, yes, it is stories we made up. And it's the kind of stories we made up because we're part of a patriarchy.
Mm, right.
But guess what's the good news about making up stories? We can make up some other ones.
Oh,
that's right.
Yes.
We can shift the conversation as we're doing tonight.
Indeed.
Raj, I did tell you I could only stay for half an hour. And
yes, I see I have a new call.
A hurricane is heading our way. We hope.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Where are we going to?
Gustav.
Say that again?
Hurricane Gustav, G-U-S-T-A-V.
Oh, wow.
I think it's currently hitting Haiti, and then it looks as if it's going to pass over Cuba, and by tomorrow it could be heading our way. So it means from even the point of view of producing my program now, I have some extra stuff to do.
Right.
What a fascinating conversation.
Very fascinating, and we are honored you have joined us.
Can I get a tape? Can I get a CD?
Oh, sure. As a matter of fact, you can actually put the button on your website if you want, but or send people there. But this particular show is going to be on until we do a next show, but it will be in the archives anyhow.
All right.
And I'll be happy to send you a tape on that where you can just click on it and it will always be there. We had one caller, I think, with her hands raised.
Yes,
well,
I'll
let's
take
see
it.
If
sure.
you have time for a quick question.
Yes, I'll do it. Uh-huh.
And it's 678-691.
Okay.
Are you there? Do you want to be on?
I am. Yes, I am.
Okay. Welcome
What's
to
your
the
name
show.
And where you
come
from?
Thank you. Good evening, Mrs. Manley.
Hi.
It's
What's your name?
Cecilia.
Hi, Cecilia. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Oh.
I'm reading your bio today so I could have a proper question for you.
Yes.
I noticed that you want your work stems from transformation.
Yes.
And I do the same kind of work, but I just go ahead and call it spiritual, open, wide out. And
That's
I
what
want
it is,
to,
yes.
Exactly what it is. And I want to ask you if in your work with women to get them to assume our natural power, do you come to that point of view from a metaphysical angle?
Yes, I do. There's
Good.
No other way to do it.
That's right.
For me, transformation is, as you say, spiritual transformation, because without a higher power and knowing who and what we really are, we can't even get started, can we?
No.
I was saying much earlier in the program, it's knowing that you're made in the image and after the likeness of God or whatever you choose to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that there's that higher power that is imminent, it's inside of you.
Exactly.
It's already there. I have a friend who puts it this way. She said, God made the world, what, in 7 days, and then he rested, and he has been resting ever since.
That's true, because now it's up to us to make the world. It's up to us to make the world in our image.
It's all here. It's we're swimming in it, and we're not even seeing it.
Exactly.
And we're sending up these what I call ridiculous prayers, asking for stuff.
Mm. Yeah,
that we already have.
Yeah, the only prayer is open my eyes so I can see.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Oh, wow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just
Isn't
wonderful
it? I mean,
hearing
when you think about it, just that's a mantra. Just keep repeating it.
Exactly.
Lord, please open my eyes so I can
that
see.
That I can
because
see.
When you do that, what you're saying is that I have accepted.
Mm-hmm.
That everything that needs to be done, you have already done. You
have exactly.
prepared a place for me.
Mm-hmm.
You have already prepared a place for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I need some help to open my eyes. And the opening of the eyes has to do with something I said earlier. And it's two principles that are very rewarding and insightful for me. One is the principle of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And linked to that is non-judgment.
Oh,
judge
yeah.
not, lest ye be judged. And we are judging people all the time.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
It's
well,
lovely to talk to you.
Well, this has been wonderful.
Let the church say amen, Cecilia.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Sister Margaret.
Excuse me?
I said, let the church say amen, Sister Manley, Sister
That's
Margaret.
That's right, Sister Cecilia. God bless you.
God bless
you.
And we're
going to
intend that you're going to be safe from the hurricane.
Exactly.
Of course, of course.
We hold the highest
yes,
light
yes.
over you.
Thank
right,
you so much.
Right.
And all the Jamaicans.
And we appreciate you.
Yes.
yes. And we'll be in touch. Thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You so
it has
much.
Been my pleasure.
All
Where's your
right.
co-host? Bye.
Bye. Bye. I'm here. I'll just let the ladies talk. Have a good evening.
Yes, I appreciate it. Can I just acknowledge you for that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
for
thank
having
you.
I'm sorry. What's your name?
It's Ade.
Ade, let me tell you, I want to acknowledge you for that as a man, that you have the power to listen. I really
you.
Want to acknowledge you for that. I could feel you listening.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, yes.
And we
yes.
have to acknowledge our men when they know
oh,
that
yes.
when they
powerful.
When they do right.
I think it's powerful for all of us, but for a man
That's
to
true.
Listen, it's extraordinary. Thank
yes.
you so much.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Dr. Manley, can I ask you, what's your
yes?
website address, your website address real quick before you go?
It's beverlymanley.com.
Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, can I just say that the book is available online at amazon.com?
Yes, we have your book on, we have a link on our homepage right now, so the listeners can just click it and order directly.
And it's also on ianrandallpublishers.com. That's RANDALE.
Okay.
And do you want to talk a little bit about your upcoming tours? Your
oh,
book
just
signing
quickly,
tours?
I'm going to be in New York this weekend. Depending on the weather, I'm doing some launches in the New York area this weekend.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
then later on in the month, I think on the 19th, I'm in Hartford, Connecticut.
Right.
And from Hartford, I go to Toronto and Ottawa.
Okay.
And then awesome. Later in the year, I go to London in October and the West Coast sometime in November. And I think that closes us off for the year. Next year, I plan to do some college tours.
Oh, okay, great. Because, you know, people, the show will be archived and
yes.
People can listen to the show whenever they wish.
Yes.
So is there some place they can get in touch to find out where
well,
you'll
New
be
York,
and when?
This weekend, the Consul General.
The Consul General
in
New
York.
In New
York. We'll have details, yes.
Okay, very good.
Right.
Thanks again.
Okay, and thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Stay safe.
You're most welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Ade?
Hello?
I am here.
Okay.
And Cecilia is still here.
Cecilia is still there.
Yes.
Ade, do you want to do some information to our listeners?
Yes, yes. And anybody else who is listening and you want to share your question or comment, feel free to press 1 on your keypad, and that let us know that you want to ask a question or you got a comment. Or if you're just listening online because we've got a guest in the chat room, feel free to register. You don't have to use your real name, and that way you can chat with us in the chat room. Or you can call in. The number is 718-766-4558. 718-766-4558.
Well, thank you all, and I'm going to leave you now. This is
okay.
Cecilia.
Okay, Cecilia, thank
Have
you.
Have a great night, and thank you. I'll be listening, but I'm
good.
All
I'll,
right.
I'll just continue to listen. Off
All right.
Thank
you.
You
so
thank
much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yes. Bye.
And tell somebody and have them tell somebody and have them tell somebody about the show.
That's exactly. That's how it works.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye
well,
now.
Ade, thank you, Cecilia. Ade, I wanted to talk a little bit about the upcoming launch of the website or the web
okay.
community.
Okay,
because
go ahead.
That's really what it is intended to be, a community.
Right.
And it is going to have a feature that will be similar to MySpace or Facebook. However, whereas in those two cases, that is the site, that will be just one part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are going to be developing more as we go along, but actually we're going to be having cooking forums and jazz forums and a book club and whatever. We're going to be opening it up for our visitors to help create the community with their ideas.
Right. Are we going to have like a rum punch night on the page?
Definitely. At least we can give you the recipe.
Right,
I have a girlfriend
right.
who will tell you it's one of strong and two of weak, three of whatever, but she's got a formula.
Okay.
That you follow. And she's known for her good rum punch. So we'll have to have her put that on the website so everybody can make sure the rum punch drinkers will be sipping their punch as they stroll through the community and visit different places.
Right.
But actually, one of the things that we are hoping will happen is that, like you, Ade, you will spread the word to your Jamaican friends in London and
right.
also friends of Jamaica, that whether they're in London or Canada or wherever they may be. Because, you know, Jamaicans, as I mentioned before, are like nomads. I don't
right.
think there is a place you can go that you won't find a Jamaican.
Right.
And you might have heard that mentioned before,
mm-hmm.
that we're just all over the place.
That's right. That's
and
right.
this well, will be a community for us to get together and share with people of like minds, whether you're into jazz or, you know, reggae or poetry or whatever. But not only that, you'll be able to access all the relevant information that you may need in Jamaica, like the library and the Gleaner and the Jamaica Information Services, and possibly some other services that might be available online, you know, like getting your birth certificate or documentation like that. Certainly we're going to have all the banks listed, so if you wanted to ask your banker a question online, you don't have to go someplace else to find him if your banker is in Jamaica. So I think it's going to be real cool.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and even just the guest, Dr. Manley, what she shared, you know, it really just really opened my eyes up to different ideas, especially, you know, when you live in a country, it's sometimes it's easy to forget that, you know, there's a whole world out here. And when I listen to people talk about the relationship between men and, you know, men and women, there's this thing about, like I said earlier, it's like this isolated situation. And Dr. Manley really just shared some ideas which really helped me and confirm what I know, that humanity is going through an evolution naturally, and it's not just an experience in England or U.S. or Jamaica. And so she's bringing that perspective, not that she hasn't traveled around. I mean, just so many things you talked about. It's the whole thing about, you know, working with women. You got to come from a metaphysical point of view, because we all must know who and what we are. If we don't understand who or what we are, it's pointless. You know, most of the time, as much as I'm passionate about helping people recognize their greatness, assisting people to see who they are and tapping into their passion, when I listen to shows and talking about relationship and talking about, well, the thing about men is they're just too intimidated because women are making more money and men don't want this, I have to switch the channel, because I just think that conversation is so old, and really we're pointing fingers. And what is really happening is we all don't have a full understanding of who we are. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about Dr. Manley. And she keeps, you know, we see what's happening on the outside, and she's reminding us that this is just a social construct. It's a story, and we can retell the story. So I think self-understanding and being able to, because it's not just an individual thing, it's a collective thing. So when we start working with ourselves, we can see that our experience is no different from somebody else in Jamaica or somebody
right.
else in Canada or somebody else in England. And we really understand and feel that we are one. I mean,
right.
she was really
As Donna mentioned, you know, some of the things that Dr. Manley's mother spoke about or taught her about. Donna, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. You want to comment on that?
Well, yeah, I just, you know, pretty much a lot of things that her mother said were things that I know, you know, I'd heard other mothers say, or, I mean, things like, you know, always go out with clean underwear on. Now, not to say that, you know, I would go out with dirty underwear on.
It's like, okay, thanks for telling me. Let me check.
On life, you know, they tell you things like, okay, you might be in an accident, and then you go to the emergency room, and then you have these dirty underwear on. You know, you're just
that's
like,
the last thing you want to worry about if you're in an accident.
As if the doctor or nurse would care.
But anyway, go ahead, Donna.
And it was interesting, and also the sacrifices. You know, your parents always talk about their sacrifices. They may be different. Everybody's sacrifice might be different, but her mother's, which was so interesting, was that she sacrificed and she only had one pair of drawers. So that this is a huge sacrifice she was making. And I said to myself, I couldn't imagine. I think, I'm sorry, but I would have had to sneak in one day and just peep to make sure that there was only one pair of drawers, you know, because.
Oh, that wasn't true. But they would always tell you that because they have to make it worse than it is.
make you appreciative of their sacrifice. I mean, I remember hearing stories of, like, my father saying, oh, and when I was in a high school or in school, I used to have to walk to school uphill
in
the snow with no shoes on or something crazy, you know. And I'm like, there's not even snow down here. What are they talking about?
That's a good one. Yeah.
I don't know. I think – go ahead, Donna.
It was just – when I heard her, you know, how she described her mother, I just saw her as someone who was saying, you know, she talked about her mother coming from one class or one educational background as opposed to her father, and where he, you know, he ended up going to a trade school type of thing, and so she married him, and they had four children, and so I think that personally her mother was saying to her, look, I'm going to set this bar here, and, you know, if you don't make it, well, then, you know, well, you didn't make it. But I think that it kind of pushed her to really be the person that she is today, and that she was evolving to, because of the things that her mother would say and the things that, you know, just to me, that I really had a sense of admiration. Her mother could actually make her own medicines out of herbs and actually cure people, you know, and I mean, you know, wash, and she was like a woman of all trades. She did everything, and I was like, wow, how did she do it? Four kids. I'm having a hard time with three.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Another thing that I thought was interesting is that she mentioned, I think she had two other sisters or three?
Two sisters.
And I'm sure that in their own right they have contributed, you know, something. But she, because of the way I think she felt and how she went inside and discovered herself, she has actually impacted the lives of thousands of people all over the world. Because she's really traveled extensively and held seminars and spoken to heads of government and given lectures about her, as a gender specialist, and how some of these issues that she shared with us this evening, you know, can make a difference in the way people interact and relate to each other, no matter where they are, not only in Jamaica, but all over the world.
Right.
So she has been, had it perhaps not been of the way she was brought up, you know, or the circumstances in which she grew up, she would not have been the person she is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's all related and it's all good.
Right, it is. And,
Donna
Margaret, one of the things that she said that really, I mean, when she said it, I felt chills go through my body because I really feel passionate about this. I work with young people. I work with young males. And one of the things that she said that doesn't quite happen most of the time is she said when she went back to university, what she was learning was relevant to her real life. So it was very exciting. And you hear most young people saying school is boring. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we tell them, all you need to do is just concentrate. You need education. Education is the most important thing, blah, blah, blah. It's not that they don't know. And I really believe if we can make education relevant for young people, yes, there are going to be some aspects of it that they might find boring. But if most of it is exciting, they can relate to what they, if they can relate what they're learning in school to what's happening in their life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we were talking about kids leaving school. And for me, I've always felt like, you know, that's one of the things that we need to change in the educational system, to really make school relevant to what's happening in real life, not something that you're going to need later on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really doesn't matter. You know, if we're really being spiritual, being true, we don't know how long we're going to be on earth for. We don't
right.
know how long. I might be going to school and something, well, when you become an adult and have children, you know, it's going to be very useful. You're going to be thanking me for teaching you stuff. I may never have children. I mean, maybe I'm only supposed to be on earth for 20 years. And, you know, but it's like the whole thing of making education relevant and just her, when you talk about education, educating the listeners and us as we listen, is the passion for life. And it's easy to develop a passion when your education, your foundation, is something that has spoke to who you are. And I really appreciate it. I mean, this is the first time I've heard an interview with her or been part of an interview. And I just have a deep appreciation for her. She talks about forgiveness. And I think all the simple things, forgiveness ain't always simple, but they're elements to life. And, you know, when we can just make it's so important to make education relevant for children, because then they could decide for themselves, they could make better choices, and they would look forward to going to school. I really believe that.
Right.
I really believe that.
And as adults, it is our duty, you know, to sort of groom them for life, and just to herd them into the system that is not geared for life, really.
Right.
It's, you know, we really need as adults to think, rethink what can we do or how can we help in that situation.
Yeah. We've got about 8 minutes to go, so let's
okay.
All right, go ahead, Donna.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, one of the things that was interesting for me was when she talked about the matriarchal society, and really I think that that's something that's not just in Jamaica but also in the United States,
mm-hmm.
and part of that has happened because of, you know, financial, it's kind of like what she was saying, some men aren't able to care for their children for whatever reason, and some choose not to. And it is something that really needs to be addressed, I think. And I think that, you know, I don't know exactly, you know, where we would start on that, but it's something that really needs to be addressed, because if you have the women that are bringing up the children, then economically they're not at the same level, then the children are going to ultimately suffer.
Right, right. Right. It's about, like you said, a whole new, we've got to start telling a new story. And I think we've got to start with the young people, the children nowadays, really having an intelligent conversation with them. Of course, not telling a five-year-old, listen, when you grow up, this is what you know. But really have an intelligent conversation with what they're doing from day to day. And we've got to start telling a different story. But the story is being told. Because I was having a conversation with someone today. I know there are going to be some people a year, 2 years from now, 10 years from now, we're saying, wow, when did America have the first black president? I'm one of those people that believe it's going to happen. So if you don't believe it's going to happen, just bear with me while I have my moment. Dreaming is good. But, some people don't even understand what is happening. Because for me, I say that with Barack and Michelle, what is happening right now, even if he doesn't make it into the White House, what is more important for me is the journey. And he is a symbol of what is possible. And the change has already happened. It's happened already to have someone, an African-American, talking about he wants to be the president of America. The change has already happened. And we just need to really start taking that in and look at him from a different perspective, as opposed to thinking, well, let's see what's going to happen when he gets in there. And because once he gets in there and he does something that maybe – we've been looking for change to happen. It did something different. We say, well, yeah, he's only doing that because it's his first year, and the second year is going to go back to regular politician. But I think it's about telling different stories. It's about education.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Manley left us with something that, you know, she said something to the effect of, we're swimming in God. And when she said that, I had this image of a fish swimming in water.
Right.
And this fish praying and affirming and wishing and lighting candles and saying, God, I'm thirsty. Please give me some water. God, I hope you say, I hope I'm worthy enough to deserve some water. But we're swimming in the potential of God right here, right now. And it's
right.
about, oh, I was just getting excited. I just like, calm down. She's talking about, you know, praying and asking God, just open my eyes so that I can see. So that I can see. We all need to open our eyes and see and tell the truth and listen to our intuition.
Amen. And that's what the passage that says, you can have as far as you can see.
That's right. That's right.
You know, in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it's all about. What you can see when your eyes are open to the truth of who you are.
Yes. Yes.
So we're all on the same page.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean,
and I was really so excited about having her talk about that side of her. So all the listeners that come by or that are listening online can know, you know, where she's coming from spiritually.
That's right. That's right. That's
and
right.
It's from and, a very deep place.
Very deep and passionate place. Because
yes.
I love how she got into it. And she's like, you know, one question you ask before you can finish, she said, I can answer that. She was like, bam. And that's what passion does. You're ready, you're alive. And she gave so much more. That sometimes you listen to some interviews for an hour, and at the end of the hour, you're like, oh, that was good. But in this short time that she spent with us, she gave us a lot of wisdom to just sit with and be with. And, you know, I love guests like that. You know, all I need to do is ask a question and get them do the talking.
Yes, yes, yes.
We got about 3 minutes to go, and when is the next show, Margaret?
The next show is on next Tuesday at 8:00,
okay.
And we will be highlighting Education to a T, which is a fundraiser for education in Jamaica.
Okay.
And we are going to be speaking with one of the representatives who's going to tell us all about the event and their mission in terms of raising funds.
Mm.
So that's our next show.
Okay.
And did you want to tell the listeners again how they can just do something to their little clicker that tells them
right.
to remind
right.
their reminder.
To remind them, yes. It's you.
Yes.
I was right there with you because I was just going to do the little reminders. Yes, for all the listeners, those of you listening right now, and those of you that come back and maybe listen during the archive, just check out the profile page, and right after the topic, there's an icon there that says set reminder. Click that, and you can set it for whenever you want the show or the computer or the internet, whatever you want to call it, to remind you. So that way you will never, ever, ever, ever miss a show again. So, but if you do, you only have yourself to blame. And those of you that are listening online, please feel free. We've got 1 minute. Feel free to leave a comment. Let us know what you think about the show. Those of you, tell friends, tell family. And there's something else I wanted to say, but I can't think about it right now. Oh, if you know anybody from Jamaica who have story to tell, have them give us an email us so they can maybe be a guest. Maybe if you know somebody from Jamaica who's over here and want to share the story, give us a call at backyardlabberish.com. And because this is what the platform is for. Simply about highlighting and leaving a legacy that's going to change lives and inspire people. So, Margaret, we've got 60 seconds to go.
Okay, well, I'd just like to thank everybody for listening and coming by, and to remind you once again to keep checking, because backyardlabberish.com is going to be live on September 6th. The first weekend in September, my web mistress has told me. So in the meantime, you can email us your suggestions and comments at backyardlabberish.com, and I'll check out our blog.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us. We'll be back next Tuesday, 8 p.m. EST, Eastern Standard Time. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you, and we thank God for you.
For you. Bye, Eddie. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.